Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 22 to 30, as follows. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. So far, the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, my younger brother Bruce is a pastor in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He served also in San Francisco for a number of years. While there in our sister congregation in San Francisco, St. Stephen's, he also had a prison ministry going on where once a month he would go to this huge prison and they found a spot for him to conduct a Bible class. One of his members was incarcerated and he visited him regularly and suggested that they start a Bible class there in prison. And it was a good idea because lots of the men who were there went in and availed themselves of hearing God's word. Bruce told me what I thought was kind of a humorous story. He says, you know, I walk in there and my younger brother's quite a bit smaller than me, so it's pretty intimidating to go through down the hallways of these guys hollering at you and hooting at you and then finally get into the little room off of the main lounge area where there's a big TV going and all the other prisoners are lounging around. And what's neat is that even under that kind of peer pressure, there still will be men who will value the Word of God and they'll go into the little room off the side and prepare for Bible class. But Bruce said there was one man, he said it was a rather large black man, who would, every single Bible class, take the door and yell out to all the other prisoners who were in the main lounge area and not wanting to go to Bible class. But he'd start closing the door and he'd say, salvation is closing. The door on salvation is closing. It's closing. And then he'd shut the door. Kind of frightening, really, because that's what we have before us in our text for today. We have a message from Jesus saying the door on salvation is very narrow. The gateway there is very hard to find. There's few who enter in. It's not the law, though, for you and for me. It's not the message of hurry up, it's closing, because you and I, as believers, we're already in. We're in the kingdom of God. And that's what our text is all about. It's a message where Jesus, our good friend, is telling us we're in God's kingdom. And what he's telling it to us for is so that we can fight our own sinful flesh that tries to draw us away from the sin, from the kingdom of God. He's telling us this so that we can see that he is the doorway. And that really is the message of our text. Jesus is the door. He's the narrow gate into the kingdom of God. Our theme for today is the only entrance into God's kingdom. We'll see what happens when you go through Jesus, and we'll see what happens when you don't go through Jesus. Jesus made stops in the cities and the villages along the way to Jerusalem. What was he doing? Well, he was preaching. He was teaching them his word. He was bringing them the narrow gate into the kingdom of God, the one and only way to get to heaven. You know passages that say that Jesus is the only way. He himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me." There aren't many ways to get to heaven. There's only one way. It's faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So you see, Jesus is the door. And these verses focus on Jesus. They focus on his ministry, his word. Elsewhere in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says of himself, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." It's an accomplished fact. It's like our reading to that New Testament reading we read from the book of Hebrews. What happens when you go through Jesus to try and get into the kingdom of God? Well, you're in. That's what happens. It's the message of following the Word, which is Jesus. It's the simple, yet so unknown way into heaven. It seems simple to you and to me, believers. And to have the Holy Spirit give us that gift of faith that believes that this is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the one and only way, it seems kind of redundant for us to keep on saying over and over, Jesus is the only way, there's no other way, until we look out there and until we rub elbows with people who think that they've got a better idea in how to get to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven. We've come to realize that. By faith, we believe that. We know that Jesus is the only way. Jesus was asked a question by an individual that day. The question was, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" It's kind of a strange question to ask. You know, not, "Lord, how are we saved?" But, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" Perhaps you've wondered that yourself. Jesus says in the Bible that there are many who go by the easy, wide pathway to hell, but there are few who find the narrow way to heaven. So how many? Well, Jesus deflects the answer. He doesn't want us to worry about that. That's finally up to the judge of all, our Heavenly Father. It's not up to us. What Jesus does here is help us to concentrate and to look inward at ourselves. He directs our attention away from the plight of others to an honest house cleaning in our own souls, to an honest self-appraisal. So he encourages each one of us to strive to enter through the narrow gate. That word strive has the meaning of keep on contesting for, continue making every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Well, what's so hard about that? I mean, we're already in there, aren't we, by faith? The answer is yes. But we live in a world that is sinful and that wants to draw us away from the Word of God, the one and only way, the doorway, the narrow gate into His kingdom. And so God tells us to continue striving, keep on contesting for, keep on making every effort to enter into the narrow gate, to get into the kingdom of God. We're there already, but stay with it. Hold fast would be a good translation. You know the passage because of your faith, and it has given you great comfort in your life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, doesn't that simply explain for each one of us in the most simplest manner? Yes, there is only one way into the kingdom of heaven, and it's through Jesus. It's through the gift that God gave us of his Son. Because when Jesus came down here to earth, he lived his entire life without sin for one purpose, so that he could carry his perfect, innocent life to the cross of Calvary, offer it there as a sacrifice for you in your behalf. As your substitute, Jesus paid the price for every sin you've ever committed. It's taken care of. That's why we can say with the writer to the book of Hebrews, you have come. You have come to Mount Zion. You've come to the church. You've come to the firstborn, to the assembly of angels. You're there already. We have it. The possession is ours. Because what is God's kingdom? It's His ongoing ruling activity in our hearts. Oh, certainly heaven is part of that. And when the last day comes and we are ushered into heaven because of the faith that the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, we will be forever glorifying God and thanking Him for His work to accomplish that in our lives. Knowing, and by faith, that Jesus is the only way to get there. We're part of that kingdom right now, however. We've got it. And while we've got it, we get to tell others so that they don't miss out on it. That's why Jesus brings this message to us. And, you know, when you first read through this, probably because you're a sinner living on this side of eternity, God sees you as not having sinned right now. He sees you as holy and perfect, but your own heart, it condemns you, doesn't it? You know the sins you've committed this past week. You're here this morning to make confession. You've already done that. You've already heard the pronouncement of the forgiveness. And the sweet gospel message will continue to rule your life. But when you first read through this text, doesn't your sinful nature say, oh man, I hope that's not me. I hope I'm not the one outside knocking on the door when after the gate is shut. And Jesus even sets it up so that you're in that person's spot. He says, many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Jesus puts me in that spot, and you in that spot, of separation from God, to impress on us how horrible that would be, to be shut out from God's house, from His church. When will that happen? Well, it hasn't happened yet. You see, everyone on this earth is given a time of grace, a time when the door is open, a time when it's there and available. That time is now. Jesus is there in every Bible for us to look at, to read, to hear, for the Holy Spirit to, in our hearts and lives, to move our faith to latch on to those words and promises, for the Holy Spirit to keep us in His kingdom by faith. And that word is there to convert people who don't yet know that Jesus is the way. He's the doorway. He's the narrow gate. So these verses, when we put ourselves in them, help us to think, wow, I'm in the kingdom, but I still get to go out there and save other people who are not there yet. Other people who may end up just like this, unable to get into the kingdom of God. When does that door shut? Well, it shuts when Judgment Day gets here, right? It'll be shut for everyone then. It shuts for people on the day of their death. Because when someone dies, there's no longer, after you die, a chance to believe in Jesus. The only thing that ever condemns any person to hell is unbelief in Jesus. That's the only thing. That means that they don't believe that Jesus is the doorway. Are there people like that? Sadly, yes. There are many millions upon billions of people who think they have a different idea or a better way to get to heaven. So our job now is to wake them up with a little law from the Word of God to tell them that you can't add to this narrow door to the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. You can't take away Jesus out of the picture. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, but I also have to add these things in order to get to heaven, these good works of mine, or some other addition to the Jesus of the Scriptures. There is such a thing as false worship of Jesus. And that's why Jesus says there's going to be many on that day will call him by name, Lord, Lord. In fact, in a different place in Matthew, he says, didn't we do many miracles in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In these verses, he says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity, the word iniquity means sin. And whenever there's a sin, then there is unrighteousness. The only way to get to heaven is to be perfectly righteous. Being perfectly, well, it's kind of a redundancy, actually. I don't need to say perfectly. The only way to get to heaven is to be righteous, which means totally without sin. One sin enters in, and you have unrighteousness across the board. If I sin once in my life, that disqualifies me from heaven. Well, then who can be righteous? Which one of us? And the answer is, through the narrow door, the narrow gate, through Jesus, through his perfect righteousness, now accounted to your account, God looks at you and declares you not guilty. He says, you are my dear child, through the merits of my Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's the narrow gate that we should continue to strive for as long as we're here on this earth. What does that mean for us believers? That means continuing to support that truth, that there is no other way. Not every sincere person who practices every kind of religion is going to get to heaven. Sincerity doesn't work. Even calling him by name, Lord, Lord, doesn't work. Social status, forget about it. That doesn't get you to heaven. Wealth, that doesn't count. Good church attendance, not a thing. Faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith alone, Luther would say. If you don't go through Jesus, then you lose all of that. And what a horrible story that would be. So during our time of grace here on earth, you and I have been given a great gift. It's the gift of recognizing the narrow door, of being within the confines of God's own kingdom right now. We're there. We're celebrating it today by praising his name. We're asking him to continue keeping us in the faith so that we, every day of our lives, can approach his throne of grace, can go to his cross, leave our sins there, look to that cross for total forgiveness, and go on in our day, powered by his word, to fight our sinful flesh and the world around us. The determining factor then is faith in Jesus, not knowledge, not wealth, not knowing his name. It's faith in him, faith in the word. People can enter God's kingdom only through Jesus Christ. The time is short, and the older I get, the more I see how time flies by. The time is slipping by. The door on salvation, it's closing. It's closing. I thank God that all of you have found the narrow way. I also thank God that he's put into your heart an urgent need to impress on others, to tell others about that way, the truth, and the life. Jesus wrote in Matthew 7, or he said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In our verse he said, and indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. The people who seem of importance in this world around us, they're going to be last. People who don't seem so important, who struggle, but who have the door, the narrow door to the kingdom of God, they will be first. Because of him who made himself last, Jesus, he made himself of no reputation, fulfilling the mission God sent for him, so that you could be one of the first, the children in the kingdom of God, in eternal life forever. The only entrance into God's kingdom. You've gone through Jesus Christ. Let's help others who haven't found that narrow gate. Amen.